This week, I traveled to Scranton, Pennsylvania for our final Going There live event. Because it was our final event, we and our partners at member station WVIA wanted to go big. So we decided to talk about something that affects all of us. We wanted to ask, what does it mean to be a good citizen? We gathered with five panelists and a capacity crowd at the University of Scranton to talk it over. Eric Liu is the author of several best-selling books. The latest is You're More Powerful Than You Think, A Citizen's Guide to Making Change Happen. He's a former presidential speechwriter. Andrea Mulrine is with a local nonprofit, Scranton Tomorrow. She's also a former chapter president of the League of Women Voters. Amilcar Arroyo is an immigrant from Peru and is involved in all kinds of community projects, including a Spanish language newspaper in nearby Hazleton, Pennsylvania. Political columnist Selena Zito also joined us. She spent the last few years traveling the United States by car, taking the pulse of the small cities and towns off the interstates. And Linda Clyatt-Wayman, an educator who successfully turned around a number of schools that are considered failing, most recently in North Philadelphia. And I started by asking our panelists how they view the current state of our democracy. Eric Liu went first.
There's no question the body politic is sick. It has been sick for a really long time. It would still be sick had the election gone the other way. This is not even about the 2016 election results, right? And I think the sickness that we're describing here, one of the things to name is we are at the tail end of three or four decades of some of the most grinding, crunching, severe, radical inequality that this country has seen in its history since, just, you know, I mean, comparable to the eve of the Great Depression, kind of concentration of wealth and voice and opportunity. And people have been feeling that for decades, right? They feel it when jobs have left regions like this. They feel it when schools and cities are crumbling and things are, and the American dream seems very distant to a lot of young people. They feel it when venerable old institutions like League Women Voters find it harder and harder to get younger people engaged. There's this sense that the bargain got broken, right? And that is a very cross-partisan sense, I think, a cross-ideological sense. And I think one of the things that we are seeing right now across the left and the right is what I call a great push back. You have millions of everyday Americans who are tired of a system that has been rigged to reward the already privileged. And these were Trump voters and they were Sanders voters. And they were people who did not vote at all, right? But you have millions of them saying it is time to re-rig the game. And their focus is actually not just on national politics, right? I think their focus is very much at the end of the day about what's the health of Scranton? What's the health of the place where I live? And how do we actually try to salvage some sense of, if not greatness, some sense of just, this is a place I want to belong to and be part of, right? And I think that that is why even though we are in this kind of place of sickness right now, I'm actually still net optimistic.
You know, Andrea, a number of people want to ask, how do you decide what to do with your time? Especially, you know, because everybody's busy and life is hard, you know. So how do you decide what to do? And how do you keep going when you feel discouraged, as you inevitably must at some point?
Well, I think that you find something that you're passionate about. And, you know, I'm sure that I got involved like a lot of other people get involved through my son. So it was PTA, it was Boy Scouts, it was things like that. And then my passion, and if you would ever told me that I would know anything about government, I would have laughed at you if you had told me this 30 years ago, because I had no interest in being involved in government. But when I lived in a city that was declared distressed, and I'm one of those people who yells at the television and I yell about the newspaper, so I'd be reading the newspaper or watching the local news and yelling at the TV and going, how can they be doing that? Even I know nothing, and even I know better than that. And that's how I started getting involved, because I was passionate about it. And I said, there has to be a difference. There has to be a change.
Linda, what about you?
Can that attitude be taught?
Yes. And it can be taught through education and through examples of teaching children about history, about their history, teaching children about government, and teaching children about why it is important to be responsible in this country. So the answer is yes, it can definitely be taught.
And how do you teach? Because one of the reasons that we were glad you could come is that you have experience in working with schools that the kids are having a tough time. I mean, and I just, you know what I mean? It's one thing when you work, let's just be honest, when you work with privileged kids, it's easy to say to them, listen, a lot has been given to you and you owe something back. But what about when you're working with kids for whom a lot has not been given to them? And I wonder, what do you say?
Well, I tell them the truth about life. And what I usually tell them is, you live here in this country and this country owes you something, but you also owe it something. So therefore, no matter what your situation is in life, and I tell them all the time, look, we all been given a raw deal. And all of us have had a lot of things happen to us. But it still does not mean that we don't be our best selves. And it still does not mean that we do not go out and do something for our family, for ourselves, and for our community.
Okay. Okay. But I want to ask the rest of the panel, are you we'll use Eric's term, net optimistic or net pessimistic? Selena, I'll start with you. Are you net optimistic or net pessimistic?
Optimistic, because for sure. All the stories of people and all the people that I've met all across the country in all 49 states, you see that willingness to connection. Yes, we're struggling. Yes, we're having a hard time. And there are some really bad hurting spots in this country, and probably in every neighborhood. But that willingness to come together in that spirit is never left. I see it everywhere I go. I am always, always charmed and always walk out of every town that I've been in and felt good about one person, one thing, knowing that the hands of that town, they're going to be okay.
Amilcar, what about you?
I'm optimistic. I am a truly believer of the democracy. I think we have to get that experience. We have to see the future with hope, because United States, it was a great country. It is a great country. It will be a great country because we have to work together, no difference. When we put a couple of children with different colors, they don't see difference. But here, in this audience, we see difference. And that is what we have to learn. United States is a country of immigrants, and we have to accept that people that they are now third or second generation of immigrants, they don't respect the first generation of the new immigrant like me, that I love United States and I can give my life and my family life for this country, for this flag. That means that I wasn't born here. I don't have the same feelings that you have for United States of America.
Give us an assignment. Give us an assignment. Who wants to start? Linda.
Well, I once read in a textbook that we should all believe that we hold the office of citizen and that we can't be voted out. We don't have a 4-year term. We don't have a 2-year term. We're in office forever. And so because we're in office forever, we should always make time to talk to young people about their duties and their responsibility about being a citizen. We must always use our influence and our power to make everyone understand that we have to make this country a better place for the next generation. So your homework assignment is always remember that you hold this office of citizen.
Eric?
The assignment that I would have actually is not only about power and getting more literate and understanding how power works in civic life, but it goes back to what Michelle was asking a moment ago about bridging these divides. I think the assignment that we each have to take upon ourselves right now is just to rehumanize our politics. Our politics is... Our politics is a downward death spiral of demonization right now. As somebody who's a Democrat and votes in progressive ways, I might be able to point my finger and blame folks on the other side and say it's their fault. And maybe it is more their fault than my fault. But at a certain point, it really doesn't matter, as it is with any parent talking to their kids, who started it. Right. What matters right now is how we're going to close that out and how we're going to finish it. And I spent a day a few weeks ago actually down in Dallas with Glenn Beck. And I went on his radio show and TV show. And I give Glenn Beck great credit not only for having me on, but for the way he started this conversation, which was this. He asked a very simple rehumanizing question, which wasn't about the Affordable Care Act or taxes or anything. He asked, what are you scared of? What are you scared of? And I first gave the surfacey answer, I'm scared the Republic is ending, you know. And then I went deeper and I just talked about family loss and about things that I'm scared of and about the kind of, you know, and then it just opened up a whole different channel. He talked about his family, he talked about his upbringing. And we connected on a level as humans that it didn't change our minds necessarily. We still argue later about transgender bathrooms and whatever else it might be. But I could no longer demonize him. because we had now seen each other on a different level, right? And again, this is no panacea, and this is not to pretend that there aren't deep structural wrongs in our politics right now, but if we're going to fix it, we fix it by first seeing each other and feeling each other as humans.
That was Eric Liu, author and founder of the nonprofit Citizen University. We also heard from Linda Clyett Raymond. She's the former principal of Strawberry Mansion High School in Philadelphia. Andrea Mulrine is the past president of the League of Women Voters of Pennsylvania. Amulka Arroyo publishes the Spanish language newspaper El Mensajero in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, and political columnist Selena Zito. To hear the entire program, visit npr.org/going there.